home. Thank you so much, Brian, for hosting us from home. In case we cut out at any stage in church, I apologise if we do. It's not our intention. We haven't gone down to the pub. It's just that our internet connection is a little bit weak. But welcome everyone to St John's this morning, and it's great to have you all here together, if not in real life, virtually. We just want to celebrate this morning. Celebrate God's love for us. Celebrate the fact that we are His church, His body, and I just really want you to know each individually His love for you, His value for you, how much He loves you, how much He's trusted in you this morning, how much He's invested in you. So let's just take a moment, let's pray together before David leads us in some songs. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you first loved us, that you went to the ends of the earth, literally, to save us. You stepped down from heaven, you became man, you gave your life so that we might be free. Lord, we owe you our lives, we owe you everything that we are. And we want to give this morning to you. We want to give thanks for your love and respond to your love and mercy with our worship and our thanks and our gratitude. So, Amen. Lord, we thank you for your spirit amongst us this morning. We give you our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
David, just before we do the first song, I think we've got a video to show. Hopefully this will work. And then we'll continue in song. Is it not? Okay, let's worship in song.
We're all okay. Good morning, everybody. Here we go.
God loves you and I love you and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you and that's the way it should be. You can be happy and I can be happy and that's the way it should be. You can be happy and I can be happy and that's the way it should be. That's the way it can be. You can be very sad, I can be very sad. That's the way it can be.
Cause
God loves you and I love you and that's the way it should be.
Oh yeah.
God loves you and I love you and that's the way it should be. We can love others like sisters and brothers and that's the way it should be. We can love others like runs and that's the way it should be.
Yes.
God loves you and I love you and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you and that's the way it should be. As for me and my house, as for me and my family, as for me and my children, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, as for me and my family, as for me and my children, we will serve the Lord. In this family, God do things properly, read God's word every day, and then we'll try to pray. Although we get it wrong, we will still carry on, make Jesus number one in this place.
In this place. In this place, we're going to say grace. Oh, as for me and my house, oh.
As for me and my family, as for me and my children, we will serve the Lord.
You're going to go.
Blessed is the house. As for me and my family, as for me and my children, we will serve the Lord.
One more time.
We will serve the Lord.
Last time.
We will serve the Lord.
As you can see, we practiced very much before that. But good morning, everybody. And hope you enjoyed bouncing around your rooms at home, I hope. Okay.
Just have a moment's peace and quiet and stillness as we focus on the first few words of the next song, as we bow our hearts, we lift our hands, and we turn our eyes to you again.
We surrender to the truth.
David. That's a really great song to sing before our confession, because I think it's important that we know that our confession is out of response to God's love for us. We don't come to confession every time to regain our salvation or anything like that. We confess because our response is love. And we want to say sorry to God because we've let him down, because he's loved us so much and given us so much. Just like the law was given to the Israelites after God had saved them, after he'd brought them out of slavery, then they were given the law in order to sort of keep together, keep remembering the grace and the love and the mercy of God. So let's come to confession, but confidently, not with heavy hearts, confidently and knowing that we have a God who loves us and who forgives us. Lord God, our Maker and our Redeemer, this is your world and we are your people. Come among us and save us. We have willfully misused your gifts of creation. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We've seen the ill treatment of others and have not gone to their aid. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We've condoned evil and dishonesty and failed to strive for justice. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We've heard the good news of Christ, but have failed to share it with others. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We've not loved you with all our heart, nor our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. The Lord enrich you with his grace and nourish you with his blessing. The Lord defend you in trouble and keep you from all evil. The Lord accept your prayers and absolve you from your offences for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ali's going to come and bring us our reading today, and the focus of our reading and all of our service really is the parable of the talents.
Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, You handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you are a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. His master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him in the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ali. Might be a slight contrast in my pronunciation of the word master and Ali's today. I normally slip into master, but we'll see how we go. I'm hoping there's a few young people. Well, we're all young at heart, aren't we? But a few young people at home. And if there are, and you'd like to do something during the talk, what I want you to do is maybe get a piece of paper and a pen or some colouring pencils or even some clay or some, I don't know, whatever you've got around. But do a picture or do a model or something of what you think when God smiles, or kind of a picture of God smiling, or God being happy, or God being pleased with you or with something. And we'll see how we go. And obviously, you know, you might need a bit longer than the next 5 or 10 minutes, but let's maybe share those later on in the day. just want us to think about that. God smiling and God being pleased with us. I want us to think today about how much God loves us and how much God has trusted in us. But before I start talking about that, I just maybe want to put a rider on the way that we sometimes talk about these parables, particularly that last line, which is, I'm sure we're tempted sometimes when we read these parables to leave out that last line. It seems a little bit harsh. And we think, well, God's not like that. God's not going to throw someone out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not a nice sort of sounding thing, is it? Well, I think we need to be careful when we read parables, particularly ones that have an authority figure in them. Often, we automatically place God in that place. We automatically say, well, God's the authority. He's that person. I think we need to be really careful because quite often those people are not very nice. And I think often Jesus uses them as almost like a prop to deliver a punchline, a bit like a joke. I'm obviously an expert on those. But, you know, normally the bit that comes before is less important than the punchline. The punchline is the key thing. And Jesus often uses figures like kings and masters. See, I did it there. In order to set up a punchline, because those are the people that those listening to him would be familiar with. And the characters in the parables are quite often the characters of the people they would expect them to be like. And quite often kings were unreliable and angry and cross and judgmental, and so were masters. God is not necessarily like that. We need to be careful, I think. I'm not saying he's, you know, there's not truth in those things, but I'm saying we need to be careful where we automatically assume that God is like this figure of authority. Having said that, in this incident, we do see some of God's character, and I do want to draw out some of those elements. But when we do things like this, we need to take the passage that we're looking at in the context of the whole of Scripture. Does it represent the whole of Scripture? Does the message of God's love and God's grace, God's redemption of mankind, come through when we're interpreting Scripture? So what does this passage say about God, first and foremost? Well, number one, God is generous. God is generous. The parable is about a master that gives talents to his servants or his slaves. And a talent is a ginormous amount of money. I think we imagine maybe a coin, but a talent was something in the region of 15 to 20 years' salary for a normal person. 20 years' salary. If you were a peasant, if you were a poor person in those times, it could be up to a lifetime's salary. We're talking about a huge amount. That's one talent. And obviously one of the servants is given five times that. Ginormous, a ridiculous amount of money. So even in that, when we start thinking about that, maybe we begin to think, well, maybe this parable is about more than money, more than just what we have in this life. God's kingdom is vast. And even at the end, when he's talking to the first servant, he says, you've been trusted with a few things. A few things. A lifetime's worth of salaries, a few things in God's currency compared to the riches of heaven. What we know now is so small. Secondly, what I want to say is that we are simply called to multiply God's kingdom, to multiply, to increase what he's placed in us. Notice that different amounts were given to the different servants, the different people. But in the case of both of the first two servants, they both doubled what they were given. They both multiplied twofold what they were given in the first place. And in both cases, the master says the same thing to both. There's not a kind of a level of praise for the first one that the second one gets less of. They both hear the same words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Share in my joy. We gloss over that phrase sometimes. I think it's amazing. Share in my joy. They get the same reward no matter how much they were given at the in the first place, how much they were trusted with. He knows what we can be trusted with. And he gives us authority and he gives us influence, I believe, depending on our situation. I would even suggest that there are other places in Scripture that suggest that God probably increases what he trusts us with. He increases the responsibility that we're given. And it may be that that first servant had been trusted before. He'd been trusted with things before, smaller amounts, and now he's being given more responsibility. That's just speculation. We've spent a couple of weeks remembering those that we've lost, and inevitably it causes us to think about the value of human life, about our own life and the significance of it. And it causes us to think about our own purpose. And I just want to encourage us to aspire to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. God loves us. Just to recap, God is generous. God calls us to multiply his kingdom. And God trusts us with his property. He places huge faith in us, huge trust, a huge amount. And we genuinely partner with God. Genuine trust is given to us. And we're given genuine influence and authority. If you remember when we were talking about spiritual warfare back in about a couple of months ago, we were talking about spiritual warfare. We talked about authority, that God has given us genuine authority. His authority, his kingdom. We are his kingdom in the place that he's placed us. And when we pray, your kingdom come, we need to be prepared to be the answer to that prayer. We need to be prepared to be God's kingdom in the place that he's placed us. And just as the first servant was probably given more authority as he was known to be trustworthy, so in the same way, I believe that, you know, as we are trusted, we're given more responsibility, more authority. We're partners with God. We get to work with God. What an amazing privilege. And it's not that he demands us to do something for him. He's not forcing us to work for him. He's asking us to work for him. He's giving us his kingdom. It depends on your picture of God, I think. How we interpret, certainly parables like this, how we interpret the value of our life. Are you motivated by fear? Because you see God as that harsh master. Like the third servant imagines his master as harsh. That's his own words. I knew you were harsh. It's in his interpretation. It's not true. Or are we motivated by love, by the joy that's set before us? Because that's the reward, that to share in the joy of God. A desire to respond to his grace, his love. You see, we have a choice. We have a choice what to do in that circumstance. We're not being forced to do it. And we get to grow in our capacity to be trusted and used by God more and more. We get to live to put a smile on God's face. And that's why I asked the, you know, if people want to draw something, what puts a smile on God's face? You put a smile on God's face. You put a smile on God's face every time you do something for his kingdom, every time you multiply his kingdom in some way or other in your life. What motivates you to do kingdom work? Is it fear? Or is it a share in the joy of God? What motivates a child to do something for their parent? Is it out of love or is it out of fear? Notice with the third servant, God did trust that servant. God gave that servant up to a lifetime's worth. He believed in him. He entrusted that wealth in him, or at least a significant proportion of a lifetime. Each person is entrusted, in a sense, with a lifetime's amount of God's wealth and authority. The problem for the third servant was not with God. It was his lack of belief that the servant had in himself, but also the picture he had of God. The reason I say that one of the lines that really struck me when I was reading it, I don't know if you heard it, but the third servant says, "You have what is yours," back to the master. "You have what is yours." At no point did he assume or think that that money, that talent he'd been given, actually was his. He didn't accept it. It's interesting, isn't it? It's as if he had no part in the master. He didn't believe he had any part in it. Didn't want to associate with the master's wealth. And there are people like that in the world. There will be people like that we meet. And sadly, the result is they will get what they believe, what they ask for. God doesn't force himself on us. If people don't want a part of God, then they won't inherit the kingdom. But notice that the person has a choice in what they do. They've been given the opportunity to have an inheritance. But they haven't understood God's character. And they haven't wanted a part of his kingdom. And rather than love God, they've chosen to fear God or even ignore God because they don't know him. And I believe that gnashing of teeth is a frustration, a grinding of teeth, an anxiety or a regret. And I guess just a point on judgment, because there is judgment involved in this parable, and it'd be wrong to ignore it and avoid it. I do believe that God judges. But I believe that the judgment involves a withdrawal of his merciful protection because people reject it. People don't want it. If people choose not to receive the kingdom, inevitably they will suffer the consequences of that intrinsic sin. They've chosen not to receive God's protection. It says in Psalm 7, it says, "Whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble and gives birth to disillusionment. Whoever digs a hole," interesting, isn't it? A little parallel with our parable today. "Whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they've made. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads." But it's not God's will. It's not God's intention. God wants everyone to know him. We know that from other places in Scripture. He gives us all the same opportunity to respond to his grace and his love and his kingdom. God sees in us something we don't often see ourselves. If you look at lots of people in the Bible, I was thinking Moses, for example, and Gideon, two examples of people that God trusted so much with, and they had so little faith in themselves. And yet look at the outcome when they did. God believes in you, and he trusts you. Whoever you are, my encouragement to us this morning is to work to please him, to seek that joy, that share in the joy of the kingdom. God loves you. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. We have a choice in whether to believe that or to believe the world, to believe in the devil and the lies of the deceiver. But God says he loves you and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's your creator. Put your trust in the God who made you. That's what faith is at the end of the day. That's simple faith. Trusting in the God who made you and being faithful in the few things that you've been given and then being trusted with more. So just to conclude, God is generous. God wants us to multiply what he's given us already, and God trusts us. God is a happy master, or a happy master. He invites the first two servants to share in the master's joy, his happiness, his generosity. This isn't the action of an angry or harsh master. That's why the third servant got it wrong. The third servant behaves wrongly because he had the wrong view of God and is motivated by fear. That when we believe God is generous, we attempt bold things for him. Because we know that he's a happy master. He's going to reward us. He's going to reward our faithfulness. But there's also grace. There's grace when we fail. If we trust in him, there is grace. It's not all about serving him and getting it right all the time. He is a generous and happy and gracious master. And just to encourage you to long to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. The call is to enter into the joy of the master. Set that before your heart now. Let's close our eyes and let's think. Let's dwell on the fact that we have a generous God who loves us, who trusts us, who lavishes us with such generosity. And our response is simply to multiply that generosity, multiply that love, that mercy. It's a simple call in many respects. Just close your eyes for a moment. Let's focus on that amazing God that we serve, not out of fear, but out of a response of love. Lord God, we thank you that you are a good God, that you are a merciful, gracious, generous God. We thank you that your intention is for all to be saved, Lord, that you give us all the opportunity to respond to your love. We choose today, Lord, to seek your face, to seek that joy that's set before us. And Lord, we pray for those that we know that don't currently see that, Lord, and we ask that you will reveal yourself afresh to them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Draw me into your embrace.
chasing after me all of the days of my life. Even when I'm lost in the deepest valley, I fear no evil. Even when the silence falls around me, I know you hear me. Even when it feels like we're separated, you're holding on to me. Even when I'm lost in the deepest valley, you're holding on to me. Even when the silence falls around me, you're holding on to me. Even when it feels like we're separated, you're holding on to me. You restore my soul. You restore my soul. You restore my soul. You restore my
Before Sarah brings our prayers and intercessions, we've got one more song. About drawing close to God and He drawing close to us.
Closer than I've ever been. Despite all my failure, you welcome me. I look to you and I see the love in your eyes. Closer and closer you draw near to me. Your love surrounds me, my heart is set free. You take my fear, you give me life again. Father, I am yours. My sin and shame, there at the cross, I'm letting go. So I come back to where I belong. Home in your presence, into your arms. Father, to you I come. Pour out my worship, my love. My heart surrendered, I'm overcome. I'm sinking deeper into your love. Letting go. to where I belong. Home in your presence and to your arms, Father, to you I come. Pour out my worship, my love, my heart surrendered, I'm overcome. I'm sinking deeper into your love. Chosen, we are loved, we're sons and daughters, we are ever in your love. We are chosen, we are loved, we're sons and daughters, we chosen, we are loved, we're sons and daughters, we are ever in your love. So I come back to where I belong, home in your presence, into your arms, Father, to you I come. Surrendered, I'm sinking deeper into your love.
Let us pray.
Lord is my shepherd, he restores my soul.
Heavenly Father, in this time of pandemic across the world, we pray for all who are finding life particularly difficult at the moment. For those living in war zones, for everyone who is ill with COVID, or mourning the loss of loved ones, for workers who fear for their jobs, for students coping away from home. We thank you that you are a God who cares and understands suffering.
You restore my soul.
We pray for communities around the world and closer to home. Your disciples modeled community, and we ask for vision and creativity as we seek to be community as a church and where we live and through our work. We pray for the Church Mission Society in Latin America, for refreshment and strength for everyone who is part of the organization, whatever their role. We pray for our community in Broadbridge Heath, thinking especially of the households in Scholars Walk, Longhurst Avenue, Highwood Crescent, Farriers Walk, Arundale Walk, the Boulevard, Gatehouse Mews, and Highwood Mill. We seek your blessing for our neighbours.
You restore my soul.
We pray for political leaders around the world, especially following the recent election in the United States and the changes in our government office this weekend. We pray for wisdom and integrity to overcome ego and selfish ends. We give thanks for our spiritual leaders, for Archbishop Justin Welby and Bishops Martin and Ruth, for our church leaders, Mark and Ali, Brian and Liz, and our wardens, David and Fiona. May everyone who serves you as part of this church family know that they are valued and that you are a God who affirms.
You restore my soul.
In a short time of quiet, we pray for the people on our hearts who need to know you are with them in whatever they are going through. For those in our church and families who are unwell in mind or body. For everyone feeling cut off from family and friends by the pandemic. Thank you for your love for each of us, no matter how we might feel about ourselves. Thank you that your love is unchanging. Thank you that you are always alongside us.
You restore my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul.
Amen.
Thanks, Sarah. Just before we have our blessing and final song, just a couple of notices. The quiz last night was really successful, and thank you to everyone that took part in it and also donated. At last check, we have raised £650 for Tear Fund, which is wonderful, and thank you so much to all of you that have contributed to that. The link is still active, so if you do want to give something, then go ahead and use the link that was sent on Friday. But it was a good night. If not, jokes were slightly dodgy. Coming up, today was supposed to be the installation of the new vicar, which apparently hasn't happened yet. I think it's a symbolic act that we still have yet to do. But apparently I need to sit in a special chair at some point. But that will be delayed again until the day where the archdeacon can come and do that. But be assured, I am your vicar, and I'm here. I'm here to stay. A few things coming up for the Christmas period as well. Hopefully, we will still be doing Christingles. The plan is to have packs of Christingles either ready to give out to the community or to prepare and to do together in the hall, should we be allowed to do that. But that will take place on the Monday and the Tuesday of the week of Christmas. So if you'd like to help with that, let us know. It'll be between 10 and 12 in the morning. Nine Lessons and Carols service is underway in terms of preparations and recordings. And hopefully that will be an event that we can live stream, but also have on YouTube and share with the rest of the wider community. So please be praying for that. And that's probably it for now. So, the collect for today. Heavenly Lord, you long for the world's salvation. Stir us from apathy. Restrain us from excess. And revive in us new hope that all creation will one day be healed in Jesus Christ our Lord. And may God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of all goodness and growth, pour his blessing upon all things created and upon you, his children, that you may use his gifts to his glory and the welfare of all peoples. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. Oh, Your goodness I will keep on singing. A thousand reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Lord, I worship Your.